Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll that is up on my website, brainstorminonline.com. I ask a real simple multiple-choice question. It's a would-you-rather question. Would you rather have a daughter that is has free liberal moral standards, or would you rather have a daughter that has no friends at all? Go on to my website, brainstorminonline.com, and take the quiz. You'll find it on the right-hand side on the homepage of my website, brainstormin, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is upending the status quo. Each of my guests will discuss his or her topic and how it impacts the status quo. My first guest is an aging rock and roll fan who happens to have stumbled into a very fun project. She's the keeper of radio DJ stories. We'll discuss her book, Blast from Your Past, Rock and Roll DJs from 1954 to 1979. My second guest is a Stanford University professor, a futurist, and a forecaster. He'll tell us why he believes the summer of 2012 will be filled with unrest. My third guest is the founder and president of High Street Partners, a company that sets up and supports clients in their overseas locations. We'll discuss the least well-known of the BRIC countries, Brazil. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Lindy Rochelle thrives in her role as a professional writer and editor and a public relations consultant, and she has published for more than 15 years magazine articles, numerous freelance corporate projects, and frequent contributions to other books. An extensive background in executive-level administration, most often related to writing and editing responsibilities, proved a real comfortable segue for working with authors and publishers. Public relations skills soon worked their way into both her corporate and publishing industry projects until she could no longer ignore its presence in her business. With a strong desire to assist other women striving for writing success, Lindy founded and administered what would transform into the online resource known as Women Writers Worldwide, and she never stops honing her craft. Joining us from Southern California, hi Lindy, how are you today?
Wow, that was quite an intro there, Bill. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for being my guest, and really it's nothing more than just sort of a capsule summary of your work history to date so far. But I brought you on board because I love the book, your book, Blast from Your Past, Rock and Roll DJs, and it really hits the sweet spot with baby boomers. I mean, with the onslaught of MP3 players, satellite radio, it's kind of fun to look back at the early days of broadcast music radio. So I want to ask you, just start with the beginning, why did you write the book, and why did you write it now?
Well, I actually was in the middle of researching for another really boring book, if you think about it, for authors about fair use and how to, you know, get around it and how to work with it and that kind of thing. And I was asked by a local Southern California magazine to write an article about rock and roll memorabilia. So trying to pack rock and roll memorabilia from how many years ago, you know, into 1,000 words, I called one of my DJ friends and asked him about radio promotional giveaways, you know, was there anything there that was collectible, blah, blah. And we got to talking about a couple of DJs that had recently passed away and reminiscing and lamenting that, you know, we hadn't talked with them lately. And I just got to thinking, you know, Cousin Brucey and Casey Kasem and a number of other high-profile DJs have written books or have books written about them. But what about the small-market DJ, the guy who just really made your life enjoyable while you were a teenager? You know, what happened to him? Did he continue on in radio? What was it about him that made you have a lot of fun? And I just wanted to see what they were doing now, see if they wanted to leave a legacy for other people, and what kind of interesting lives they'd led in between.
Well, it is a fascinating subject, particularly tracking it from the very early days of rock and roll. And I found it interesting because you're looking at a huge swath of history, 54 to 79.
It is.
And you have such divergent musical tastes. So many things happened during that period. I mean, we went from early rock and roll to R&B cover songs where white guys were covering black R&B songs to Elvis, the British Invasion, the whole folk rock genre, protest rock. Then you got into acid rock and heavy metal and even pop music. So when you were going about selecting the DJs, how did you determine how you were going to select the DJs in the book? Was it by musical genre or was it more by geographical location?
Well, you know, I'm an old rocker, and rock and roll, it covers a huge, like you said, it covers a huge category, really, because it started out, as you know, in rock, in rhythm and blues, and so many other different types of music that was a blend. And rock and roll radio, radio itself, and the music genre, just, they kind of grew up together. And you're right, we went through all the angst and everything. So much was happening with our lives, with the world, with the music. And the music and the DJs and the radio kind of led us through that time. Rock and roll, in its blend, was in the early rock and roll days, 54 to 59, which is in the first book, it really talks about how a lot, some of the aficionados of real, what they call real rock and roll, refused to lump in heavy metal and punk rock or any of the other types of music because they feel that those few years between the late 50s and early 60s was real rock and roll. And after that, it was bubblegum pop. You know? And really, kind of the things that happened that changed everything, too. I mean, there were so many changes going on at that time. But like in 59, we not only had the payola, which is a huge, you know, influence on that, but also in early 59, we lost three of the big actual rockers in one plane crash, you know, with Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper. And, you know, those guys, they just were the ones that were doing what was considered real rock and roll. So at that time, the music started to change again. And I believe, and in doing my research, I think that rock and roll rescued radio, because about 54, 55 is when TV was becoming so popular. It was so new that it was taking over. It was the new gadget, you know, kind of like the iPads are now. And people were not listening to as much radio, so radio had to change.
Well, now that's an interesting thesis. My guest is Lindy Rochelle, author of the book Blast From Your Past, Rock and Roll Radio DJs. And you're right, this time of history that you're writing about was so very, very pivotal. But I want to ask you the fundamental question, in what ways did the DJs that you write about influence the musical tastes in rock and roll era, and in what ways did they just merely reflect it?
That's a good question, and actually that is only answerable DJ by DJ, because the reason that someone became a DJ was different for every person. And some of them enjoyed the music and had a great influence because, as you know, at that time, they were able to actually make a record or break a record by playing it or not playing it. So music was important. Some of them used the DJ job as a stepping stone into management or station ownership. And so they went on to be entrepreneurs and businessmen. And then there were those that just had the connection with the people. And I think those are the long-term DJs.
Well, the long-term DJs really went through a lot, Lindy, during this whole process.
And they did.
And one of the major shifts that I'd like you to talk about is the whole shift from AM to FM. I mean, how did this transition impact the lives and the careers of the DJs playing the music, and how important was the transition from AM to FM on the music industry in general?
Big questions. You know, you really have to go back a little bit earlier than the I'd say right around 64, 65. That's when Tom Donahue was getting fed up with a lot of stuff on the East Coast and the formulaic music that was being requested or required already then, because the top 40 had, you know, was in and had been an established part of the music now for quite a long time, but that means that they had to play the same songs over and over and over. He was getting tired of that, and about the same time, we were having a transition. That's when there was more heavy metal and more musicians that were getting into the intricate type of guitar riffs and that sort of, really exploring their music a lot more, as we know the Beatles did, et cetera, in the 64, 65, 66. And about that time, Tom Donahue went from the East Coast to the West Coast, and he's generally attributed with starting the FM move, you might say, because he started with an FM station and did what he called freeform radio.
Uh-huh.
And he played albums rather than just one song. And that made a huge difference on the music and the way we listened to it, and it helped a lot of musicians really become empowered with their music, because there was more attention now to some of their other songs rather than just the one that was being pushed by their labels. And so that was a huge made a huge difference in that particular timing right there. And I think that going forward, it opened up the genre, and it opened up rock and roll, it opened up music, so that there could be a lot more exploration.
My guest is Lindy Rochelle, author of the book Blast From Your Past, Rock and Roll Radio DJs. She's got a couple editions. The first edition is the first 5 years, 1954 to 1959, and then the more comprehensive 1954 to 1979. So, Lindy, most of us know that the longtime DJs dating all the way back to the late 50s and the early 60s, names like Wolfman Jack, Cousin Bruzy, they leap to mind. Who were among the most memorable DJs that you researched for this book?
Ones that probably had some of the biggest shares and biggest market audiences were ones like Jimmy Stagg. He was in Chicago. Shotgun Tom Kelly is still going. He's in Southern California.
Yes.
Yeah. And, let me see. Ed Shockey was another one. Some of the ones that were associated with the Beatles or considered a fifth Beatle, which there were several of them. Lee Gray was another one. Joey Reynolds, he's in New York, and he's still doing All Night with Joey Reynolds. And I swear, he's got more energy than I do, that's for sure. he's another one. There were quite a few, but a lot of them are the ones that I was talking about that are the small market guys that will probably never be recognized in any other way and wanted to leave a legacy, or their relatives, because some of them have already passed away and gone up to that rock and roll heaven.
What makes some of these DJs that you profiled fascinating to you?
Well, one guy out there that was in San Bernardino for quite a while at K-Man. I don't know if you remember that one or not.
No. Tell us about it.
He was in the 70s, and like, you know, a lot of us, he was an old-time hippie. But, you know, there was a lot of, bear stuff going on those days, and a lot of streaking, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did one time is he interviewed a troupe that was on stage, and it was like Hair. They were, you know, they performed in the nude, and so he thought it would be really cool to have them into the studio. So he interviewed them in person, and he was nude. Now, they walked in fully clothed and not real thrilled with that.
I bet not.
You know?
Rude awakening, particularly early in the morning.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, but his engineer backed him up. He walked in naked. You know, I mean, it's things like that that you couldn't get away with now. And there's some great stories. And some of them that, you know, again, they would never be heard if we didn't take that opportunity. And some of the listeners, I'm sure, have stories that are the behind-the-microphone stories, you know. They're the little secrets that nobody really knew about, but they're so fun to just to spread the stories around a little bit, you know. But remember, all history is subjective.
Without a doubt. My guest is Lindy Rochelle. So, Lindy, researching the book and doing the writing and just reviewing this whole period of time, particularly the early rock and roll years, which DJs made the most significant contribution to music radio during this time period, do you think?
I think the ones that maintained their integrity throughout made the biggest difference. Again, the ones... Larry Lujack is one that is always brought up to me. Do you have him in your book yet? And there's so many, of course, that I haven't been able to include yet. But Larry Lujack is one. Ron Riley is in my book. He was another one that was in Illinois. High Lit, Tom Donahue was very influential. Cousin Brucey was influential. There are so many of them that, I know one that doesn't get his story out too often either, and that's Mike Corgan, a.k.a. Ken Chase.
Ah.
Who was up in Portland, and he's actually the guy who produced the Louie Louie record for the Kingsmen.
Wonderful story. It's great. These are the types of stories you'll find in the book, Blast from Your Past, Rock and Roll Radio DJs. I'm talking to the author, Lindy Rochelle. Lindy, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Blast from the Past?
I want the baby boomers to have a really fun time, you know, tripping down memory lane, maybe learning about some of the DJs on the other side of the country that they never knew about. And finding out, redefining what they used to know about DJs and how the DJs can become human to them. And for people who are the young kids and everything who might want to read the book, it's fun history. You know, I don't really go in depth. We don't have any serious type conversations in there. But it's a lot of fun and hopefully entertaining for everyone.
Well, it certainly is an entertaining read. My guest has been Lindy Rochelle. Lindy, you've probably piqued the interest of several of my listeners out there. If they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, we have the website, blastfromyourpast.net, and that not only has information about the book, but also gives a little history into some of the DJs, and I'm adding more to it every day, and it has trivia and just fun stuff, radio surveys. Oh, my gosh, there's a whole other story right there.
Well, it's a great read. And so
you can also find it on Amazon.com.
Oh, that is great. Lindy, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Thank you.